This week on Let's Talk Supply Chain, I was joined by Yifat and Padu from OSA Commerce. The episode was filmed live at Manifest, and there was a real buzz at the event. Lots of fascinating conversations happening. And this one was no exception, because Yifat and Padu were talking all about AI and data, a couple of hot industry topics. We chatted all about the big challenges when it comes to data and AI, the three C's, and how important they are in overcoming those challenges, why brands need to move from a reactive to a proactive approach to their supply chains, and ultimately how to harness the power of AI and data to help your organization put a stop to supply chain chaos. Everybody needs to hear this conversation. I don't think there's an organization out there right now that isn't scratching their heads over AI and how to use the wealth of data they have more effectively. So it's a must listen episode. I hope you took a lot from it, because if you missed it, remember that you can catch up over on letstalksupplychain.com on our YouTube channel or anywhere else that you subscribe to the show. It was episode 394. Let's Talk Supply Chain is not your average supply chain podcast. We feature not just the top of the industry, but also diverse voices from within the community, new innovations, and the disruptors making waves in the industry. Don't listen to the same old, same old. Be sparked by new ideas and fresh perspectives only on Let's Talk Supply Chain. When you're looking for cutting-edge resources on innovation and trends across supply chain, where do you go? What about when you're on a mission to find like-minded professionals and cultivate relationships that go beyond an emoji reaction? And what about when you're trying to generate leads, build campaigns, and get ahead of the game in the unique world of supply chain marketing? Supply chain has been missing a single collaborative hub that brings people and ideas together in an environment that is safe yet stimulating for everyone. Until now. Just one platform that's as dynamic and innovative as you are. Welcome to the Secret Society of Supply Chain, a private network for the supply chain community. An industry first brought to you by supply chain media entrepreneur Sarah Barnes Humphrey. The Secret Society of Supply Chain brings professionals of all backgrounds and experience levels together in the industry's largest dynamic network, focusing on industry learning and career development, as well as networking and community. The Secret Society of Supply Chain hosts all the content, connection, and creativity you need for supply chain success. But which group is for you? Well, head over to letstalksupplychain.com, find the Secret of Society banner, and take the quiz and join our waitlist. There are limited number of spots available, so make sure to get on that waitlist so that you are one of the first into the Secret Society of Supply Chain. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Let's Talk Supply Chain. Before we begin, here's a question to get you thinking. Women have made a strong comeback to the supply chain workforce in 2023, with gains at nearly every level of leadership, according to a survey by Gartner. But what percent of executives and C-suite roles are now filled by women? Let us know your guesses over on social and keep listening, because all will be revealed at the end of the show. So today I'm excited to welcome a distinguished supply chain executive to our Woman in Supply Chain series. She's a multi-award winning board member and speaker dedicated to empowering women and girls across the industry. But who is she? Well, I'll let you know after the poll of the week. Plus, we're super excited to be sharing this episode with you on International Women's Day, and a shout out to all the women in supply chain. So the question that we asked you, what do you believe is the most important trait in a leader? Well, 32% of you said emotional intelligence, and we had almost 500 votes on this one. 25% of you said strong communication skills, 24% said vision and strategic thinking, and 19% said decisiveness and accountability. Luca says, choosing the most important trait in a leader is indeed challenging, as each element plays a crucial role. In my view, a well-rounded leader possesses a blend of strong communication skills, vision, emotional intelligence, decisiveness, and accountability. Sam says, wow, I'm surprised at decisiveness and accountability. Not having these in the workplace is my biggest fear. Terry says, interesting results. Pascal says, all of the above. Victor says, ethically solvent, consistent, and sensitive to the needs of the majority. Destiny, this did actually surprise me. And Wen says, if a leader has a clear vision and can express ideas and strategies to their employees and stakeholders, motivation and support will be given and be coherent to the company's goals. Well, thank you so much to everybody who weighed in on the question of the week. And remember, we get the community talking every single Wednesday morning across the Let's Talk Supply Chain LinkedIn and Instagram with our poll of the week. So make sure to not miss out and comment so that we can spark some conversations. Now back to today's episode, and the incredible woman in supply chain I have with me today is Lisa Dolan. Lisa is an experienced supply chain executive with a wealth of experience in global supply chain operations and reverse logistics management. With a remarkable 26-year journey at Alum Technologies, Lisa has been the driving force behind strategic supply chain optimization plans that have substantially reduced costs, elevated service and quality levels, and helped achieve ESG goals. Today, Lisa will be telling me all about that impressive 26-year tenure at Alum and what she loves so much about the company, how the industry has changed and the emerging trends to look out for, what organizations can do to elevate women in supply chain or women in the industry, and why supply chain might just need a rebrand. But of course, we could not have our Woman in Supply Chain series without our sponsors. GoFreight is proud to sponsor the Woman in Supply Chain series, recognizing women's vital role in the industry and the need to highlight their contributions and experiences. We are committed to promoting diversity and inclusion in the supply chain field and are honored to support initiatives that empower and inspire women in their professional journeys. GoFreight is the world's leading cloud-based freight forwarding management system. In addition to its comprehensive core features, including business quoting, ocean and air freight processes, invoicing and payments, accounting and finance, customers highly favor it for providing a customer-facing platform that meets the needs of freight forwarders and their clients and agents. For more information, visit them at gofreight.com. And then, of course, Food and Logistics and Supply and Demand Chain Executives Women in Supply Chain Award, sponsored by us, honors female supply chain leaders and executives whose accomplishments, mentorship, and examples set a foundation for women in all levels of a company's supply chain network. And we are honored to be partnered with them and for them to be supporting our Woman in Supply Chain series. So welcome to the show, Lisa.
Hey, Sarah. Thank you so much for having me. I'm truly honored to be on such a prestigious podcast.
Oh, well, thank you. And I'm excited
You're
to
famous.
Have you here.
Oh, you are so famous. And now when my kids see this, they're going to be like, Mom, really?
That is so funny. That is awesome. I'm so excited to have you here, too. I mean, you're a supply chain veteran and famous in your own right. Plus, we're releasing this episode on International Women's Day, which is really, really cool. We've deviated from our consistent Monday podcast and made sure that we're releasing this on that special Friday. And you're a woman after my own heart because you have a commitment to empowering women. You put yourself out there on boards, speaking opportunities. So if any event organizers are listening, Lisa is your lady.
I'm here.
And you're really helping to move the needle, which we all love to see on the show. So I want to find out a lot more about you. So let's just dive right in. And we're going to start at the very beginning. I think your education was in IT. You began your career in sales and customer service for IT companies. So the big question is, how did you end up in supply chain?
Yeah, it was really kind of strange because back in the day, there was no such thing as supply chain, right? So I grew up in Vermont. It's an IBM town in small town Vermont. I got my degree in programming and then moved down south of here for a little bit and ended up at a software city. And in Software City, I was tasked with building leading edge computers. So this was before Dell came in to play. Mm-hmm. So this small mom and pop shop needed somebody to put the computers together and then load all the software and then train all the people. And so I thought, well, that's fun. So my whole life has just been one big, oh, I'll try that. That's fun. Oh, I'll try that. But I fell kind of in love there, moved to California. And that's when I got really introduced into big scale manufacturing and supply chain. So that's how I stumbled into where I am today.
I love that. So let's talk about that, because you're currently the vice president of supply chain strategy, and it's called ALUM, right?
ALUM.
ALUM. So, there we go.
Okay. ALUM, yes. And so, yeah, ALUM stands for, it's an acronym, actually. Not a lot of people know this, so I'm out there educating on the acronym, too. So it stands for Advanced Logistics Operations and Manufacturing. When the company was started 26 years ago, we needed to come up with a name that would be placed first on the Google search list. This was before pay to play, right? What? So we had to have an A, and then we're really big on acronyms. So that's what it stands for. And what we do, most people think of us as a 3PL. But we're really not. We're kind of a unicorn in the space. We do light contract manufacturing, final configuration, hardware flashing, package assembly, kitting, vendor managed inventory, fulfillment, warehousing, returns, reconfiguration, and recycling of those returns, because we're really big on the full circular supply chain. We're operating out of 19 global locations, serving the high compliance industries, such as medical, automotive, technology, and then the regulated industries. I have really strict NDAs. So I'm going to try and do this without disclosing who my contacts are, so yeah, I don't get in trouble.
We don't want that.
But if you've ever driven in a car with navigation that's on compact flash, that's us. Cool. If you've ever taken a DNA test, which many, many, many of us have, that's probably we support that vertical, and it's most likely our customer.
Well, you guys were really busy during the pandemic then.
We were super busy during the pandemic, because if you've ever taken a high-end flu test or COVID test, we produce those. And then if you have a device, I've put my devices away. But if you have a device that you can wear or talk on the phone with, we support that industry as well.
Very cool.
So that's kind of who ALUM is in a nutshell.
Thank you for sharing that. Now, were you a founding member then?
I am one of the original employees. I'm not a founder, so I would never.
No, but like I meant like founding employees. Like you were one of the very first.
Yes, yes, yes. I should have kept all my badges, but I didn't.
So how did that end up happening, that you decided after everything that you've done before this that you were going to dive in as one of the first employees?
Well, again, I kind of lucked into, this is the story of my life. I love your tagline. I was born to do this. Well, I think I was too. And so it's been, it was kind of crazy. So I was working at that contract manufacturer when I first moved to California, and I just had my first child, my daughter, Meg. She was just a baby, and I was working at this place. It was 5 minutes from my house. I'd drive home, I'd breastfeed her at lunch, and I loved my role there. But I had this headhunter. He kept calling me. He's like, "Lisa, you need to talk to this person. You're going to love her." And I'm like, "I don't know. I'm really happy where I'm at. I got a baby. I go home at lunch. It's great." And he's like, "No, no, no. You've got to talk to this woman." And so this is when I got introduced to Hannah Kane, who hadn't started ALUM yet. So this is an ALUM. She was tasked with starting up a facility in the Bay Area for a company out of Sacramento. And so I met with her, and I was completely blown away with her vision for supply chain, because no one 28 years ago was talking about, data and visibility and traceability and portals. And so I went, oof. And again, I was the sole support for my family. So I was like, ooh, do I take a chance? I was in 200,000 square feet, and she was tasked with starting up 25,000. And so I was like, really? Then I went, oh my God. But after meeting her, I was like, I really got to take a gamble. So I hemmed and hawed, and then I rolled the dice and went, great. And so Hannah was fabulous. Then we'd worked there for about a year, and then she decided, I can do so much better than this. And she could. And so she said, I'm going to start my own company. Would you consider going with me? And I'm like, sure, it's been a fun ride so far. So I took another gamble, rolled the dice, and here we are, 26 years later. We started out with just 50,000 square feet. Now we're in three buildings in Northern California with close to 500,000 square feet total. We opened up an indie facility 3 years ago, and that's almost 200,000 square feet. And yeah, it's just been kind of a wild ride.
Amazing. So talk to us about your journey with Alom, right? Because I'm sure your roles have kind of evolved over the years. Talk us through how your career progressed through that time. And what did you learn along the way? I mean, I'm sure you've learned so much.
Oh my God, so much. And so I've done pretty much every role. I'm not doing IT. I've never done IT. We have amazing in-house IT. So I don't want to take any credit for our amazing IT. But I've done every role, that you can imagine. It's just been an incredible journey, because when you start and it's a few people, everybody pitches in, you roll your sleeves up, we're going to get stuff done, we're going to get stuff made. Right. And so I've had the opportunity to touch pretty much everything. And so now my role, I'm VP of supply chain strategy, and my role's really, and what I love, is around strategic planning and really helping our clients align their supply chain from raw materials to right shoring, and then closing out that loop when, you know, products do get returned or have failures out in the field and those types of things. So
yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
I love that. It's kind of similar to my journey, because I worked for the family business and was able to touch all sorts of parts of the business. You know, learn finance, but be in imports and exports and customs and warehousing, and really sort of find what I liked, what I didn't like, you know, what I was good at, what I wasn't good at.
What you're good at, because it's the stuff that you like that you're really good at, right? You move on fast, the stuff that you don't like.
Yeah. And I love
that's why I'm not in programming to this day. I mean, it was mind numbing for me personally. Yeah. I'd rather be out there building stuff, but you know. Yeah.
No, I love it. I can hear your passion, and it sounds like you've really found your place. I mean, you've been there and they've kept you there for 26 years, which is amazing.
They don't know how to get rid of me. It's the problem.
They're like, oh, they are lucky to have you.
Challenge.
They are so lucky to have you. So talk to us about how you've seen the industry change over that time, right? I think that this question is getting more and more interesting the more open and honest we kind of get about it, right? A few years ago, people would say, it's changed so much. We've come so far. But actually, more recently, people are saying, you know what? We're still facing a lot of the same challenges as we were 20 years ago. And thinking back to what Hannah was talking about 26 years ago or 27 years ago before you started, you know, talking about data and portals and all of that. What's your perspective on this? Because you had the opportunity to be with somebody who was so forward thinking in a industry that really is not. And then to really think about how that's transitioned and changed over the last 26 years. Have we really made a lot of progress? Have we not? You know, what do you think?
Well, I do think we've made a lot of progress. And what I love about Hannah is she's very right brain and left brain. And what we've done as an organization is use technology prudently, right? Because there's some places for technology and there's other places that there is no place for technology. But I think the industry really has indeed transformed dramatically with digitalization, globalization, innovation. But then we also, despite all those advancements, we still have issues with disruption that we can't control. That's never going to go away. Geopolitical tensions we can't fix, pandemics. It really kind of underscored the fragility of our supply chains that we thought we were really robust. And in fact, we weren't. And while tech has provided tools for better risk management, the interconnected nature and how we're all integrated and all of this visibility, the minute one piece breaks, we're left with this cascading effect, and it's still not fixed, right? And then I think the other issue we have is the rapid pace of tech has changed, but now it's created a skills gap. So we're all fighting for the same people, right? That have the, you know, it's a very small pool and we're all wanting, and it's tough these days. And so this gap kind of handcuffs our ability to fully leverage all these great new tech tools, because we need the people who know how to use them and use them properly. And then all the digitization also exposed risk with, you know, cyber attacks. Supply chains, you know, have the greater impact of cyber attacks. It can shut us all down. So, you know, you two steps forward, one step back. And then sustainability's made some great progress. You know, it's become a critical concern for everybody. And while there is this growing awareness, regulatory pressure, consumer demand, it's because we're all fully integrated, we're all expected to come up, but it's a huge lift. And some of our suppliers aren't ready to do that with us. And so, yeah, it's been a fun ride.
Well, we always talk about supply chain professionals being problem solvers, but what you just described, I kind of feel like we are jugglers as well.
We are jugglers. That's it. It's like adapt, learn, adapt, learn again. Drop the ball.
Well, and so one of the things that you said about skills, and it's interesting because I read a recent article and we talked about it recently on Thoughts and Coffee, is that one of or two of the biggest skills that organizations are looking for right now is creative thinking and analytical thinking as well. So you're talking about, I think, skills on the technology side, because we need to be able to implement and adopt and, you know, really configure what the technology structure is around a supply chain. But then organizations are also looking for creative thinking and analytical thinking, which supply chain professionals bring to the table.
Yeah, because every day is different for us, right? If you're not strategically thinking, you're not in business the next day, right? You know, the one rule of thumb, nothing goes as planned. And you better have a backup.
so true. Don't I know that as an entrepreneur? And then I think the other part of it, though, too, is I feel like we're just not there with data. No. Right? Because you were talking about Hannah talking about data like 27 years ago. And I feel like I am still talking about it, you know, 6 years later into my podcast career.
And it's still so dynamic, right? So you have all this dynamic data. It's massive amounts of data. I was just at the DIMSCA conference with Hannah. She was speaking. Yay, woman on stage.
Yay!
So she and was engaging the audience, because we're all talking about that generative AI and how do you deal with all of that, that dynamic data? It's like Niagara Falls coming in at us. And, you know, that's where I think AI is definitely going to help us all as supply chain professionals, if used correctly in a closed loop to avoid data leaks, obviously, right? So there's so many other challenges. You know, that's a huge challenge coming up for the next 2 years, because everybody's on the AI bandwagon. But at the same time, you know, look, we all have NDAs in place. One little iota gets leaked, we're hosed.
So we're like open to collaboration, but closed to collaboration. We want to move forward, but we can't move forward.
You open your kimono and I'll open my kimono. It's this weird symbiotic dance, right? But it's true. You know, you need to have some visibility, but at the same time, what data can you expose?
So now we're dancers. We're also dancers.
So now we're dancers.
So we're jugglers, problem solvers, and dancers.
Dancers.
So you just spoke about the future, kind of, and what some of the biggest challenges will be for the next 2 years. And you said AI is going to be that. What else do you see sort of coming down the pipe? And one quick note on AI as well is I feel like we tend to think macro with AI, where I've seen a lot more examples where people are finding more success in sort of the micro, like the one process that automate and then go from there. Like somebody I was talking to the other day, and I think it's coming up in an upcoming episode, 10 years to get to where they are with AI right now. So, I mean, if you're not there, it's okay.
It's okay, but you should be. Because it can help with a lot of the things that you need help with. And so you shouldn't be afraid of it. You should incorporate it. You should find some things. So I do think that is going to be a big play.
So on top of AI, what are some of the other challenges and trends people should be sort of thinking about for 2024, 2025?
So, you know, again, I go back to the global economy is facing uncertainties. And so demand planning is going to be a big challenge because the economies are slowing a little bit in the U.S. and China. And that's going to be a challenge. We all went through this big we went from just in time to just in case. Yep. And we're still kind of in just in case. And now, you know, our inventories are slightly bloated, so to speak. And so I think there's going to be that challenge of getting the right mix of products and inventory and raw material in the next couple of years, right? Because we did, the pendulum swang so wildly from just in time to just in case. And so there's going to be a challenge there, the skills gap with the employees and trying to get in that talent. I love, and it's so true, having people with critical thinking skills, problem solving skills, you can't teach that in school. It's done on the shop floor, right? And so we all know that's just something you just, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. And I agree with you on both of those. I think that what we've seen is a lot of SKUs being cut though as well, right? I think people have been, since the pendulum swung one way, they've also been like, do we really need all these colors? Do we really need all these sizes? And so I'm guessing we're probably going to see some of that continue, right? Because inventory is costly.
Inventory is costly, but I think what's happening though is, and it's something we help our customers with, is having the ability, the consumer still wants to customize though. So yeah, you still want that Barbie pink, and I do. And so it's that, again, that dance again of finding that right mix and then working with innovative solutions on it. Well, how can you still provide that while still cutting the SKU? Mm-hmm. So what we're doing is we're doing a lot of final mile configuration at the last second so that you can keep the SKU standard.
Okay.
And then customize at the end. And so you still give those consumers the demand what they demand and want, that customization, but you do it at the final mile, you cut your SKU down, and then you find another way to make it unique. And so that's what we're playing with. And so you've got a lot of additive manufacturing that you can do that will allow for that customization. But you are correct. The SKUs have got to come down. They got crazy for a while.
Yeah.
And then I think, and it goes back to the data. And this is where my programming background comes in. So I'm always looking at how do you cull the number of steps and the data. And so don't randomly create a SKU. There's ways to work around it and script around it so that you're cutting the SKUs down and the inventory down a little bit. So that's
well, and supply chain brains are going to be so needed for all of that as well, because you can partner with somebody like you too, but you also need somebody internally that understands it. So
understands. Oh my God, yes.
You know, it's so needed. And it's interesting because people come to me all the time. What should I upskill? What should I look at? Well, all of these episodes kind of give you a glimpse into what people are thinking about, what they're looking for, what's coming down the line. And
what's
so it's important
down
to think or to listen really, really carefully because the information is out there. So you're passionate about women in supply chain. You've said that you feel it's important to get the word out there for women, that there is a place for them in the industry. So do you think that's part of the problem? Does supply chain have a branding issue? Do women feel like this space just isn't for them?
I think we do have a branding issue, and I don't know why. It's so fun. It's amazing. And so I think that's why, you know, your podcast and the PR that you're doing is absolutely amazing. It's important for women and diverse individuals to see that they have a seat at the table in supply chain, right? Supply chain encompasses every skill set. And so IT, engineering, planning, account management, sales, there's a spot for everyone. And there's room at the table for them. And so I applaud you for all that you're doing for the industry, because it's fantastic.
Well, thank you. And I think part of that branding challenge, though, is that women do feel like we're a little bit braggy. And so we don't get out as much to really talk about what this is all about and what it could mean for others and what impact that they can make in the world. Because really, supply chains make an impact on the world every single day in a variety of ways, right? And I think we as women need to talk about it more.
I think you're absolutely right.
And so I challenge everybody. This was my challenge, I think, a couple of weeks ago when I saw a post.
Damn it, don't challenge me. I have enough challenges, not just but you're right.
Not
I love
just
it.
You, everybody. But I saw a post the other day. They were like, we need a series featuring women in supply chain. I was like, can have
guess
it.
What?
Here it is. And I challenged.
Find me.
I challenged all the people in the comments. And I was like, go take a listen to some of the episodes or read the blogs. And whichever one resonates with you, post your comments about it and post that article or podcast on LinkedIn.
Yes, repost because it. I think it's important.
Because not only are you giving a voice and showing what it's like to be women, you're also empowering that person who was featured in that episode or article to say, hey, we see you. Thank you for sharing your story.
Yeah, I agree 1,000%. So challenge accepted. Challenge accepted.
Well, and so let's talk a little bit about some advice. What's some of your advice for women who might be interested in the industry, but they're not sure maybe what their career path might be, or perhaps they're intimidated by the seemingly male-dominated environments?
Yeah, so my advice would be to really reach out to your network to see who they know who might be in supply chain, and get an introduction, and then call them and pick their brain, right? And then, because that's a safe space. If you can find another woman in supply chain, then call me, you know, absolutely link in with me, but find another person in supply chain and pick their brain and find out and ask those questions that are important to you. Because like I said, pretty much every skill set's needed in supply chain, and it's not as male dominated as they might think at all. I mean, look at Alom. We're woman-owned, 100%, you know, and it's incredibly, and our organization's incredibly diverse. And so, you know, it used to be, you know, people thought it was so male-dominated, and it was. I mean, don't get me wrong. I just didn't realize, because I kind of grew up in a small town, and it didn't matter whether you were a girl or a boy or whatever. It's just get it done. So even back in the early days, no one blinked when I pulled the pallet jack through the warehouse, you know, and that's the case today too. You know, we have women doing every function, forklift drivers to truck drivers, and there's a place for women everywhere.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I would say resources, right? Like if you don't feel comfortable reaching out to somebody on LinkedIn, go and check out this Woman in Supply Chain series, right? Go listen to their journeys, figure out what kind of jobs that they've done. Even this episode, you've been able to share how you started, how you transitioned, and then what those positions look like throughout the journey. And there's so much opportunity. There's the Woman in Supply Chain forum by Supply and Demand Chain that happens in November, where women get together once a year, which is amazing.
That's an amazing event.
Yeah. And they've, you know, they've sponsored this particular series as well, because we help sponsor the forum. There's some collaboration happening now with some of those Women in Supply Chain initiatives. You know, we've also got a virtual monthly meetup for Women in Supply Chain, because we realized that, you know, we want to meet up a little bit more than once a year. And so there's lots of things out there. So there's lots of resources to tap into and really just get stuck in and figure out what it is that you like to do, don't like to do, right?
So yeah, because it's so much fun. It's just an amazing industry. And yeah, I couldn't imagine doing anything other than this.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned about speaking opportunities. You're an amazing speaker. And getting women up on stage at events is vital. It's why I founded the Blended Pledge, so that we could help women and other underrepresented groups take opportunities and become visible, because representation matters. It does. What's your advice to organizations? Because recently there have been a couple of posts And the posts have been by men, either seeking women for potential panels up on stage or saying something about how we just don't put our hands up. And for anybody who saw any of those posts or is reading anything like that, can we just not? Because I have a list of diverse voices that, who have raised their hands to say yes to speaking engagements. If there are any event organizers or you know of any, get them to DM me. I will send them that list because I feel like we just need to look a little bit harder. So what's your advice to organizations? What do you think?
So, yeah, it's a shame that in 2024, we do need the blended pledge still. Mm. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been at industry events and it's all white males speaking, you know, nothing against white males.
Nope.
But I do love to see some diversity. And like you, I keep hearing the same thing. There just aren't any diverse subject matter experts willing to get up and speak. And I say hogwash. Well, I say a few other choice words, but I'll say hogwash today. You know, we're out here. There's women out here. And I end up doing the same thing. I think corporations and organizations should be keeping a speaker bank of women and diverse employees that they have who are subject matter experts. And that are comfortable speaking and offering them up to pave the way. And behind that, they should be bringing up the next generation because it's a win-win for the corporations. It's great publicity, you know, and I don't understand why they're not doing it. You know, one thing I do after every event I attend and I don't see someone who is diverse on the panel is I write in the comments, hey, I didn't see any women. I didn't see any diversity.
Awesome.
You need to work on this. And here's my suggestion. I offer up speakers because they're usually events that I'm attending where I have subject matter experts that I know.
Right.
And then offer up my email, my telephone number and say, hey, call me. I'm happy to put you in touch with people who can get you speakers for next year. And let's see a change. And I think everyone who attends an event, it's our money that's paying for the event. And so I think, you know, I think we'll get a seat at the table eventually.
Oh, that's such a good point, right? Use your feedback dollars wisely.
Yes.
Do the survey, first of all.
I do the survey every time. If I don't see somebody on there, boom. What can we do to make our event better? Well, I'll tell you what you can do.
Yeah. So let me ask you, how many people have contacted you?
I've had one, actually.
Oh, I thought you were going to say zero.
Yeah, no, I've had one.
Yay,
and I've offered them some suggestions. Yep. But again, I do think as women, we need to raise our hand and say, and again, it goes back to stretch. You got to stretch. It might not be comfortable for you. Start small. Stretch. Do a podcast. Do a video podcast, right? Kind of get your feet wet. Do a small CSCMP event, or, you know, work your way up if you're not comfortable, but, you know,
and get involved.
Do it. It's get involved.
There are resources out there. There are things that are out there that can definitely help you, but you're right. We do have to raise our hands, but we also need to put some pressure on those event organizers, to really open their eyes and see who's out there. See who's, who can support, how they can support. One note on the organizations. I do agree that it would be great if we could see a little bit more participation for the diverse voices who want to have those kinds of opportunities in the organizations. But it's also one of the reasons the Blended Pledge also has corporate sponsorships, because sometimes they have a lot of people. And so to give them a way to be able to donate a corporate sponsorship, let their internal people know, let other people know that they've done that, and then they can apply and we can kind of do that for them. I think also helps as well, because then we're all sort of collaborating, right? The organizations, the nonprofits, the event organizers. But if you are offering feedback and you need that list of diverse voices, please just let me know. And I'll give you access to it and you can share it with whoever you want. You can add people to it because we need to keep adding people to it. So let's open that up once we're done. And let's see what we can do. So you're an award winner a speaker, a board member, a leader. What are you most proud of? What are some of the achievements that have defined your life and career? I think you're a Woman in Supply Chain Award winner too, right?
I am, and a STEP Award winner. So I think the achievement I'm the most proud of is my two incredible children, Meg and Jake. They're amazing human beings that are on their own. It's fabulous. But as far as achievements, I kind of felt like I made it when I was named Supply Chain Pro to Know of the Year. Was on the cover. I was a cover person for the SDCE supply chain. I was like, oh my God. And that really was an incredible honor because the list of supply chain pros to know was huge and amazing individuals. And when I was chosen, I was like, what? Really? Oh my God. And so that was probably my, wow, I've made it.
That is awesome. So because we're releasing this on March 8th, the embargo is going to be lifted. And I just got my very own Pros to Know for 2024.
Amazing.
I didn't get the overall, which is totally okay, but I did. Okay. I have been trying to get on this list for 3 years, and I am so excited.
I am so excited for you, too. That's amazing. It's long overdue. The cover's yours next year. Ah! I mean, oh my God. We're going to advocate for that. We're going to advocate for that 100%. So that's, but you know, it's shocking. I don't know if I don't know if they've ever had a woman on the cover before.
Yeah.
And so that was just like mind blowing to me. So you're next. That.
Well, thank you.
I will advocate for that all day long.
We're here to celebrate you. And, you know, that's quite the achievement. The Woman in Supply Chain Awards. What else have you won?
A Step Ahead Award from the National Association of Manufacturers. Okay. I try not to.
I know, but here's your chance,
baby. There's
a
lot. I know. I've gotten some great... I'd have to go and pull up my LinkedIn to be, I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Well, you have so many achievements and you continue to advocate for other people, reach down, pull people up, diverse voices, women. I mean, you even showcase that with using your feedback dollars, right? And in those feedback surveys, you are doing them every single time and you're advocating to make sure that we see representation. And when I talk about impact being little things at a time, these are the things that you can be doing, right? Like actually taking the survey after a conference and speaking up and making sure we have more diverse voices on stages for the following year. Even if it's one, you have made a difference.
It's one, and everybody should be doing that, right? And then taking a look at who's on the agenda before they even sign up and contacting the folks and say, hey, I see you don't have anyone. Is there room on the panel for a woman?
Right. And thank you so much for the advocacy. I think it just means so much. And it's something that if we all do it, we can move the needle faster. Right. Mm-hmm. So absolutely. What do you think the future holds for you?
Oh, I'm going to be in supply chain forever. retirement's not in the future. But when I do, I really want to focus my energy on paying it forward. I'm involved in a lot already right now. But when I have more time, I think there's some more amazing organizations that need supply chain professionals, given the nature of what they're doing. Red Cross, United Way, Allen, they all need supply chain expertise, and I'd love to continue with that. I'm very active on a lot of local boards. I'm really big into STEM in school systems and bringing up that next generation of STEM. My poor daughter, I would drag her to NASA Ames science fairs all the time. It was crazy.
I'm sure she loved it.
She did. She actually did. And she's in a STEM field, so it's fine.
Oh, that's awesome.
But again, it's advocating for the next generation and making sure everyone has a seat at the table. It's super, super important, especially with, you know, mentorship and guiding and mm-hmm. you got to pay it forward. I've lived a blessed life. I'm fortunate that I get to do what I love every day. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to pay that forward.
I love that. Well, we talk a lot on the show about the long and winding roads that lead people to supply chain, the crazy career pivots and moments of self-discovery. But it's so refreshing to also put the spotlight onto women who have found environments that suit them, that have climbed the ladder and carved out incredible careers for themselves within those environments. When we talk about opening up the industry to women, showing them what their options could look like, it's so important to demonstrate all those possible pathways and the incredible results they could achieve from following them. So did you have a guess at today's big question? At the top of the show, I asked you, what percentage of executive and C-suite roles are now filled by women? Well, it's 26%, an all-time high, and up from 19% in 2022. The same report by Gartner also found that women now make up 41% of the supply chain workforce, up from 39% in 2022. But that frontline representation continues to lag behind, with women filling just 31% of these roles. So while we have done an incredible job, there's still some work to do. Lisa, thank you so much for sharing your journey with us today and for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, and let's get those numbers much higher. We can do it.
Did you know that the average cost of losing an hourly supply chain worker has reached $19,607? And that recent research shows that 77% of hourly supply chain workers are considering a job change in the next 3 months. This could have a huge impact on your productivity, bottom line, and culture. Workstep is helping supply chain companies to better engage their distributed hourly workforce at scale. Understand the true reasons behind their workforce turnover and take actions to make positive changes and reduce attrition. Workstep has successfully helped many companies reduce their frontline worker turnover by up to 36%. Visit workstep.com to learn more. If you would like to hear more from us at Let's Talk Supply Chain, we have plenty more podcasts for you and content for you featuring the best and brightest in the industry. Head over to letstalksupplychain.com to check out the latest. And if you have a challenge in your supply chain and you're looking for a solution, we have most likely had them on the show. So if you put your keyword into the search bar at letstalksupplychain.com, all of that content will come up and you can find out what solutions are out there. And remember to come back next week, and I'm going to be joined by a really exciting guest. I've been trying to get him on the show for, well, forever. And I'm thrilled that he's decided to join us. I will be chatting to the founder and newly reinstated CEO of Flexport, Ryan Peterson. And I'll be asking him the questions that I know are on your minds: acquisitions, layoffs, management changes, exactly what has been going on behind the scenes at Flexport, and why. I'll be asking Ryan about what drives him, what he's learned, and his vision for the future. And I'll also be picking his brain on the industry as well. How are ongoing issues in the Red Sea impacting business? How is he balancing disruption with customer expectations? And in a climate where everyone is fighting to transform, how is he utilizing AI to achieve real results? And how long did it take him? I have so many questions, and I'm sure Ryan is looking to set the record straight. So make sure you tune in next week, because you are not going to want to miss that episode. If you'd like to support the show, there's a few ways you can support us. Follow us on LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok. Subscribe to our newsletter over at letstalksupplychain.com, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Let's Talk Supply Chain. You can also find some really cool merch in our shop at letstalksupplychain.com for the supply chainer near you. And if you're looking for a community to join that's virtual, that gives you exclusive on-demand content, a way to be able to get together monthly with other women in supply chain, as well as marketing professionals, well, we created the Secret Society of Supply Chain, and we designed it so that there was a community that was right for you. The Supply Chainers is exclusive content where you're not going to find anywhere else. We talk about best practices with some of the biggest experts in the industry. Plus, you have a chance to network with other peers
within that group. Second, we've got a virtual monthly meetup for women in supply chain, professionally facilitated for professional and personal growth. And then lastly, we've got a virtual monthly meetup for marketing professionals in supply chain. So you can get together, learn from customers. That's right. We're going to be bringing potential customers into those meetings. It's facilitated by me and I am super excited. So head over to secretsocietyofsupplychain.com and pick the right group for you. And remember, if you want to be featured on an upcoming episode, head over to Apple Podcasts and rate and review the show.
Have a great week, everyone. Thanks for listening. And remember, ship happens.